Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And welcome to a brand new episode here of Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing? How's everyone doing that's watching and listening?
Yeah, man. I'm good here. I've been attending New York Comic Con. Very interesting week on that. But not a lot of games. There's a couple of games here and there. Yeah, make sure if you're listening, make sure to listen to the interviews I put up during Comic-Con because I got to check out the Avengers game. And I interviewed the developers. I got to meet Sandra Saad. She's the voice actress that she's in the game too as Ms. Marvel. She's in that. And what else I post? I've been posting a couple on and not much. I have a couple more saved up that I'm planning to put later this week, because I also interviewed a friend of mine that we've been talking for like 12 years, and it was like the first time that we met actually at Comic-Con. It's Megan Rand. So I'm definitely going to be talking about that later this week.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
But Paris, there's a couple games that I think we should be talking about on this episode. So one is Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Another one is Destiny Shadowkeep, right? And is there anything else? Because we are like unprepared today.
No, I know. I can say up front as far as Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I'm not going to really have an impression on this episode other than to say I need to give it more time because right now I'm not enjoying the game. And I've had people tell me, no, you need to give it more time, blah, blah, blah. But I to be upfront, I feel I have a bad taste in my mouth about that game because my E3 experience with it wasn't that great. When I played the beta, it didn't really grab me that much. I just feel like Ghost Recon is trying to do way too many things at once. Instead of just being a Ghost Recon game, it's trying to be this open world MMO RPG Far Cry game, and it's trying to be Ghost Recon at the same time. And those two things don't mix. And that's kind of been my main thing with it. So my initial impression is I'm not really into it. I almost feel like, why are we getting a Ghost Recon game in the first place when there was nothing wrong with Wildlands? I felt they could have just continued to iterate on that the same way that Ubisoft has done with games like Rainbow Six, instead of kind of force feeding the sequel out, sticking a celebrity in it, etc. But I have people saying, no, give it more time. So to be fair, that's just my initial impression. I'm going to give it more time and I will give a second look to it next week. But so far, not that impressed with it, not to mention all the microtransaction fiasco that's gone on with this game as well. That also puts a real bad taste in my mouth, too. So this has definitely not been one of Ubisoft's best titles in the last couple of years. But I will give it another week before I give up my final word.
You know what? I'm going to do the same thing. But I've been playing it, Paris, more than you, of course, because, you know, I have more time. I know you've been super busy and everything, but I'm not really liking it, man. I'm trying my best, like, to be open minded. Like, okay, let me just try it out. You know, play single player. You know what? Let me play multiplayer. Single player wise, I don't like it at all. I've been finding it boring, man. Now multiplayer, I can understand. You play with friends, it's a little bit more fun. That's cool and all, but single player. Nah, the thing that I'm worried about is that now a lot of the games that's going to be coming out in the future, is it going to be all the same? Is it going to have all raids and similar to The Division? That's the thing I'm afraid of, because the thing that I like about Ghost Recon from back in the days, I'm a huge fan of Ghost Recon. Back in the days, it felt different. It felt different from Rainbow Six and other games that that Ubisoft had. You know, now it feels like it's trying to be a little bit of Far Cry, a little bit of The Division. Like, where is the unique Ghost Recon vibe? I'm not really getting it, man, at all, man. And I'm not liking the story. I feel like Wildlands was a better game, in my opinion, so far. I don't know. I don't remember the last time I said this about a Ubisoft game like this, you know? So I prefer Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and The Division so far. Those games are like a lot of fun. But something about Ghost Recon, it felt rushed. It feels like they're trying to be all these games into one, and it's not really working out, man.
Yeah, and again, that's why I want to give it more time. I want to get a little more in depth with the game. I do feel like an initial look of it has not been enough, and to be completely transparent, I have not synced a lot of hours into the game, so it is not fair to me to 100% judge the game right now. Mm-hmm. So
no,
I want to give it more time, but I will say, going by my impressions through the beta and just early on in this game, for me, Ghost Recon, I want it to be more of a tactical shooter versus, like I said, kind of the Far Cry element that they're sticking into it. Obviously, Wildlands with the open world and just the vehicle gameplay and all that, it launched rough, and then it really found a great spot along with some of the additional episodes and DLC that came down the road. And I felt Wildlands was a really good open world Ghost Recon. I felt like they found their niche with it, and this kind of breaks it a little. Like I've said from the get, why does Ghost Recon have a raid? We don't need a raid in Ghost Recon, and it goes back to what you're saying. Ubisoft is starting to make all of their games too much, too close to being the same, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And I do worry about that with Breakpoint, but I'm going to give you my conspiracy Steve on what Breakpoint is. Here's what I think. And I could be 1,000% wrong, but this is what I think. Okay. I think Watch Dogs was supposed to be the game this holiday. And I think they realize, let's say a year ago, we're not going to make it to holiday 2020. We need, or holiday 2019. We need more time. We need till spring 2020. All right. So that means Ubisoft would not have a game at all this holiday. So I think a year ago, they realized this and they hit the break glass in case of emergency. Go get John Bernthal to cancel in the Punisher. Let's put him in this and let's just spin off Wildlands into just a whole nother game. We'll slap a raid on it, the whole thing. We'll get people excited with the marketing. We'll get, what's his face? And why am I not remembering the rapper's
Wayne.
Name? Lil Wayne. We'll get Lil Wayne to do some commercials and we'll just stick it out so we can meet the holiday. And here we are. And then Watch Dogs will come out in the spring. And then, all right, let's just go into next gen with the next gen Assassin's Creed, and we'll just move on from there. That's what I think happened personally. And
I'm probably wrong. Agree. I think I agree, man. I agree. Yeah. Because look, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I have a lot of friends that are really enjoying this game. Playing it on a PC, playing on console, they're playing almost every night. And I'm not saying don't buy this game. I'm just giving my opinion. Is it something that I see myself playing a lot in the future? No. Did I give it a chance? Yes. I'm gonna give it more time this week. I'm probably gonna be playing with my brother. He also has the game and everything. And I'm gonna give it a chance. But right now, I am not feeling it, and I'm trying my best. I'm trying to be fair, Paris. You know me. I'm not one of those that's always trashing a game. I'm not like that type of person. But you know, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, you know, I'll just say the truth, man. You know. So, and we even have friends that work on this game, so we can just keep it real. You know, like, more power to them. You know.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I, you know, just trying to be honest and transparent about my thoughts. I do not want anyone watching or listening to this to make their purchase decision on what we're discussing right now. We're just kind of having an open dialogue about our initial thoughts of the game. We'll give more time on it. And we'll have more definitive review in a week or so. You know, it actually brings up another topic before we get into Destiny and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we got some feedback via Facebook where someone was not happy with our opinion on Borderlands 3, basically for this very reason, that he didn't feel we gave it enough time. You know, obviously he threw Destiny at me. Well, just like Destiny. Why you like Destiny? Why don't you like this? But, you know, like I said in our initial thing of Borderlands, I can't get into that story, and I am fully aware Destiny has an atrocious story. I still don't know what happened in the Division. I'm still trying to figure that out. So I don't even, you know, it's not that it has to have an amazing story, but maybe it's just my age and where I am in life. I can't do that kind of humor. It just really takes me out of it, and I don't want to slog through that. And for me, the loot system and the way everything works in Borderlands is just something that has never grabbed me. I've never been into Borderlands. So this is nothing against this particular game. And I understand that a lot of people are really digging Borderlands 3 and they're digging it and vibing it. And just everything about it's really good. I get it. But for me, it does not work. And it's not something I'm going to invest my time into. And that's the thing that, you know, I tweeted about this yesterday. You have to understand, we're not always going to like the same things. Just because you love a game doesn't mean I am going to love the game, and vice versa. And it's okay. It's okay to have these varying opinions, because at the end of the day, it's just an opinion, man. That's it. My opinion is no more valid than anyone listening to this podcast right now or watching this on Twitch. We all have an opinion, and we all have a right to that opinion. And at the end of the day, it's your money. If you're spending $60 on a game, enjoy whatever the hell you want. Really?
Yeah.
That's all it really comes down to. I fault no one for enjoying a game. Look, I'll take it way back. You know how Pete and I always give Danny a hard time for Sunset Overdrive, because Danny loves Sunset Overdrive, right? But you know what? That's okay. He can love Sunset Overdrive, and that's just friends ribbing each other. But never would I be serious about, well, Danny, why do you like that game? That game's terrible. I don't like it, but that's fine. I'm glad that Danny likes it. I'm glad that Sunset Overdrive has a cult following, so much so that people are writing petitions to PlayStation now, since they own Insomniac, to please make a sequel, you know, when the PlayStation 5 comes out. That's fine. Same with Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I'm going to call him out, because I know he's watching this right now. Pete loves Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which I have to say is part of the reason why I'm like, you know what? I need to give this more time, because I actually respect Pete's opinion and the fact that he's liking it. And I know, you know, David is liking it, and there's other people online that are really liking the game. And I'm like, wait, what am I missing? Maybe I need to give this another shot, and I will. And, you know, but then there's the good chance that I'll play it and I still don't like it. And that's okay too. And that's the thing that I just think everyone, you know, online, podcasts, Twitch, whatever, needs to understand. I was at TwitchCon last week. It was actually a great thing to be around so many different, diverse people, and just we all have our different tastes and our play styles and the things that we like, and that's okay. I love that. I love that we can agree to not agree on certain things, and I think that's what has always made this podcast a great thing. I think that's just my interactions with certain people on social media has made it a great thing, is we don't always have to agree, and it's okay. So you can get mad at me because I don't like your favorite game. That's fine. But at the end of the day, I'm not expecting you to like my favorite game either, and it's okay. So, all right, I'm done. I'll stop talking.
and remember, guys, this is an opinion. It's not a fact, or, you know, it's just an opinion. That's it. It's just, you know, we always going to have different opinions about certain things, and the listener might agree and might disagree, and that's fine. It's part of the conversation, man. Imagine, Paris, that we like every single thing. Everything is the same.
It'd be terrible.
It would be terrible. Well, yeah, the podcast would be super terrible.
Yeah.
You know, but you need to have that different opinion so we can have a conversation with not only between us, but also the listener. Like, I want everybody to just debate and just have fun talking about it, you know, and tell us why we are wrong. Just tell us. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and that's the great thing about feedback. I mean, you know, I'm wrong a lot and I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong because, I mean, perspective is the greatest learning tool. You know, I don't know everything. So if someone brings a different perspective to me and opens my eyes to something, I'm very happy for that. And I welcome that because it can show me a different way. Like, I'll give you a great example. I was arguing, I don't know, about a month ago on Twitter that Star Wars, the Rogue One movie, right, is terrible. I still think it's a terrible movie, by the way, but it was a terrible movie. Everybody was starting, you're crazy, it's one of the best ones, and they're giving me all examples. And I cited one of my things that Vader at the end wouldn't have done what he did. That is out of character. And then people pointed out to me, actually, you're wrong, Paris. That is absolutely what he was did. And they cited examples of Star Wars canon where he would have done that. I went back, I read it, I looked, and I go, you know what? You're right. Okay, I'm wrong about that, but I still don't like the movie. But that's okay. But see, you know what I mean? I wasn't going to be stubborn and just go, why? I'm not changing my opinion on something. So I did relent on a certain part of it, but I still think overall it wasn't a great movie. But that's the point. We can have these discussions and debates about different things, but you always got to go into them with an open mind, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this, Paris, before we start talking about, you know, Destiny. And this happened a couple days ago, I believe. There's a lot of changes going on in the PlayStation, man. A lot of people leaving out of nowhere. Should we go from there, man, and just talk about that?
Absolutely, we should.
Is Conspiracy Steve, is he around? Because
yeah, Conspiracy Steve is here, but you actually lit the conspiracy for me, and I've had some other people corroborate this, so it really makes me think this is what might be happening.
Woo, okay. Go for it, because I'm super curious about this.
Oh, well, you're the one that brought it up. We're talking about Sean Layden leaving PlayStation kind of abruptly. Yep. To where there wasn't even like official, you know, press release. It was just kind of a cobbled thing together, put on social media. And I think they have something official now. I can't remember. But it wasn't anything bad. It seemed like, hey, wishing you good luck, where, you know, you go kind of thing. So I don't think anything nefarious happened within the company where he all of a sudden had to exit. And again, Danny, I give you the credit on this because you said to me that you think he abruptly resigned because maybe he took a position with someone like Google, like with Stadia as an example. Like maybe Google backed up the Brinks truck and we're like, we're going to offer you all this. Come run Stadia for us. And he agreed. And obviously, if he's going to the competitor like that, he can't stick around at PlayStation for too long. So he just abruptly resigned and he's leaving. But it's on good terms. Kind of thing, which is how I think it is. I don't, because clearly it does not seem like he's retiring, like Reggie or anything like that. So, yeah, you brought that up. I had some discussions with some other people that they're kind of thinking the same exact thing. And everyone was like, Stadia. And I'm like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like Google is trying to, you know, put down the stamp. I can't even talk this morning. I'm sorry. If Google is trying to make a splash in the gaming industry to say we are here for the long term, getting someone like him to just run the show for them makes a lot of sense. And I will say, since Gamescom, I am more swayed towards Stadia potentially working than I was before Gamescom, because actually playing it, having hands on with it, and I'll throw Project xCloud into this as well, it worked. Mm-hmm. So if they could figure it, look, if they could figure out the subscription service and just make it so that I don't feel like I'm just throwing money into the void and the light switch can get turned off at any point to play games, I would definitely be more open to it. So, but yeah, that's the conspiracy that he's going to Stadia. So,
well, yeah, the reason why I said that is because one, it's in San Francisco, same area. That's.
Oh, I have to interrupt, and I'm breaking the fourth wall. Pete, I did not retract because of Gary Whitta. Gary Whitta had absolutely nothing to do with me changing my mind about Rogue One, because I still think Rogue One is not a good movie. I'm only talking about Vader. So, okay, sorry. Please continue. I had to break.
Wow, that listener, I apologize, listener.
Go call me out in the stream.
Yeah. So, one is Google, also located in San Francisco. He lives in San Francisco. That's one. And remember, PlayStation is known for press releases. Every time they have an announcement, Everybody gets a press release. Actually, there was a press release a couple of days ago that PlayStation Now, the price decreased, mm-hmm. which we could talk about that later. But PlayStation is known to send press releases. When was the last time you seen PlayStation just saying goodbye to someone that used to work at the company from Twitter and that's it?
You don't. You don't. That's what I mean. So this was very abrupt that it happened.
Very weird. And supposedly there's other execs, I think from other regions, that also left out of nowhere too. I think in Asia, I don't know where, but I just find it weird that there's a lot of major changes coming for PlayStation. Now, for those that are excited for PlayStation 5, Paris, should they be worried about the changes, not only within the company, but maybe it will affect the console too? Like, what is your theory about that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think this affects PlayStation at all, PlayStation 5 at all. I think that plan, that roadmap has probably been in place for a while. Obviously, they already know the specs of the machine. They know exactly what they're going to do in. The games that will be coming out probably in the first couple of years of the life of the PlayStation 5 are already in development. So I think it's fine. Obviously, mm-hmm. from a leadership standpoint, you don't want to lose someone, you know, for your senior leadership like him. But, you know, it happens. It happens in corporations every day. So, you know, they'll find a replacement for him and they'll just keep it moving. Again, I've been saying this for a while. Sony is still the leader. They've done nothing to change that. You know, everything that they're doing has been fine. Nothing has raised a red flag like, uh-oh, what is PlayStation doing? They're in trouble. As far as the PlayStation 5 goes and their potential launch lineup, I think they're going to be fine.
Okay. But I just wanted to talk about that. For those who are listening, please let us know your thoughts about it. Just send us an email, fanmail@gamertaggrid.com, or hit us up. speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. Paris, what are you going to say?
Now, I will say with the, you know, you brought up PlayStation Now and the price drop. Smart move by them. It was needed because at that current price, I still felt no reason to want to invest into that. And now this is a lot more reasonable. This makes, like, what was it, $9.99 now? Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, for monthly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Same, Xbox Game Pass.
A lot more sense. You can get some up-to-date PlayStation 4 games on there as well. Obviously, you know, back catalog stuff. Yeah, makes a lot more sense. So as we move into this cloud gaming, because it is eventually going to be a thing, that is 100% happening. We're just in the early days of it. Sony is staying relevant in that space because as Stadia moves in, as Project X Cloud moves in, I mean, no one's talking about PlayStation Now, and at that current price, no one was going to be buying anything on there either. So this makes it more affordable. This makes it, if you're really into PlayStation games, a lot more sense to invest into that.
And they just added the company just added a couple more games to PlayStation Now. So it's God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, Infamous Second Son, which I like that mm-hmm. game a lot, and Uncharted 4.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Those are the games that they,
quality titles, really good games. If you've not played them before, if you've not been in a PlayStation ecosystem and you want to do the cloud thing, I mean, those are definitely some good games to start off with. Now, I want to transition from that before we get into all the Destiny stuff. I want to transition from that and talk about another big thing that came out, and I'm just going to pat myself on the back and I'm going to do a virtual high five to Pete, and that Rockstar has announced that Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming to PC. Is it November 3rd? Is that the date? Something like that. I know it's early November, but either way, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming to PC. I held out. I win. I'm doing the Walter White emoji. I won because I didn't get it on Xbox or PlayStation because I knew they were going to come out with a PC version a year after, and that's exactly what they did. I'm in. Now I can go get Red Dead and play Red Dead, so I'm excited about that. What are your thoughts?
Same as usual. I'm like, whatever about the game. I don't know. But it's exciting. I think that the PC community are going to come up with some crazy stuff, like the mods.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. It's going to be amazing. Oh, yeah. That's the best thing about having that game on PC, because, man, I'm always checking out like videos that people have been posting on Twitter and different places like YouTube and all that. And you'll see some crazy stuff in there, man. So there's a lot of videos like that for the last Grand Theft Auto game that came out. So it's cool. I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, and I haven't seen anything official that it's going to – do support RTX, but I noticed that NVIDIA was very quick to like the fact that it was coming to PC. So it makes me wonder if they're going to partner up and do anything on that. Obviously, the fact that it's come a year after the console versions, a lot of the bugs and issues have already been, you know, resolved. I know, you know, they've obviously already had Red Dead Online out. So this is going to be the quote unquote definitive version of Red Dead 2, which will come to PC, not to mention that it's going to be mouse and keyboard. So the controls have been a big issue with it. Just looking at the feedback over the last year, a lot of that's going to be mitigated on PC because you do mouse and keyboard. So that's good as well. I'm excited for it. Again, it's a game that I knew I wanted to play, but I knew there was a PC version coming. I'm like, if I can just hold out, it's going to make a lot more sense for me to pick it up on PC. And now I can, but I do find it interesting. So you can pre-order it now. You can get it through the Rockstar Game Store or whatever. It's going to be on the Epic Game Store. And they're holding it back from Steam until December. So there's like a month exclusivity thing there where it won't be on Steam until December. So I laugh at that. So look, I'm be honest with you right now. If I get it to review, I play whatever the hell I want, right? Wherever they tell me if I get it for review. But if I don't get it for a review, then I'm just buying it on Steam. I'll wait till December. I waited this long. Might as well just get it on Steam. So that's what my plan is to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for it. I'm really looking forward to it. I know a lot of people really loved it. Said just the story was fantastic on it. And obviously, there's just been so many things to play over the past year. I've been able to hold off, but it'll definitely be an end of the year purchase for me and something I look forward over the holiday break to definitely jump into and play. So excited for it.
So one more thing, Paris, before we talk about Destiny. That exclusive feature, I think the play... it's like a mode that's available only for Call of Duty for PlayStation owners.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that, but I just want to get your thoughts about what's the name of the mode? I just can't remember top of the head.
It was like a Spec Ops mode, and there was like a survival mode in it. So to be clear, Spec Ops will be available on Xbox and PC, but it's the survival mode inside that mode, which will be exclusive to PlayStation for a year. So I'm of two minds of it because I try to look at both sides from a business standpoint and obviously from me as a gamer standpoint. The gamer in me does not like this because I don't like exclusive anything, but it is a small sliver inside of a mode that is being held exclusive, but it's unacceptable because with Call of Duty is an annual title, right? So the fact that you're holding it a year, by the time anyone on Xbox or PC will get a chance to play it, we've already moved on to next gen Call of Duty on Scarlet and PlayStation 5 and on the PC. So no one's playing it on those modes because we're already going to move on. So that's the unfortunate thing about that. And it's unfortunate that, look, Infinity Ward and Activision can say whatever they want. Hey, it's only a certain percentage of the game. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal because it is a marketing incentive to get people to purchase it on PlayStation. That is the whole point of it. So if I don't have a PlayStation, I don't get to play that mode for all intents and purposes. Like I said before, by the time it comes out, we've already moved on. So I don't like that as a gamer at all. I think it's terrible for the industry that we continue to see these things. The gamer said, you know, the business side of me looks at it and it goes, hey, if Activision is going to throw a bunch of money or PlayStation is going to throw a bunch of money at Activision to get some kind of exclusive mode, I'm going to take it because that's what you do. Of course they are. Just, you know, it's my same argument with the Epic Store and all that. Epic's going to come at me and back up the Brinks truck to get some exclusive window, which clearly they've done with Rockstar for Red Dead 2 for a month window. They're going to take it. Because that's what businesses do. They're in this to make money. And I know people aren't going to like to hear this. We go online and we complain about these things all the time. We complain. This is outrageous. I'm boycotting. I'm doing this. And then
petition.
And look. And then Take-Two sends me a press release to show that Borderlands 3 has record number of sales on the PC. So we can sit here and argue these things all we want about how much we don't like them, but we still run out like sheep and go buy it. We do. We're as a community as a whole, we talk a lot and we don't back up what we say. because we still run out and go buy these games. And we show these companies that we can scream and yell and pout all we want, but we still give them our money. And until we stop giving them our money over these things, they're going to continue to do it. And I've already seen, like, I know, like, again, I know there's the loot box stuff and with Activision and Call of Duty that kind of got exposed, and pre-order sales have dipped on Call of Duty. I will say right here on October 6, 2019, when the NPDs come out at the end of the year, Call of Duty is still going to be the number one selling game.
Yeah, of course.
It is.
Of course.
It is. It's, so
that's what we minority. Do. It's in the Paris. That's the minority. It's let's be real, man. The majority of people are not listening to this show. They're not on IGN. They just buy it because it's Call of Duty. Just the name just the name alone will make them buy the game. I bet the majority of them doesn't even know about the exclusive mode,
and that's the
whatever.
Thing. And that's
you know,
the thing.
So
yep,
it's gonna happen every time. Yeah, like it's funny. People were complaining about Borderlands and the Epic Store, you know, exclusive, whatever. And yeah, like you said, that game sold like crazy. You know, it broke records. So I don't know. Is it a waste of time to be acting all stupid online like this, complaining? Of course, man. Post your opinion. It's fine. If you don't want to buy it, that's fine. But making this whole drama online and everything, like, oh, protests and...
No. Here's the thing. Yeah. If you're going to be vocal and do all these things, actually follow through with what you're saying. And that's what I'm saying. We're not doing that. We're making a lot of noise to, you know, again, it's the vocal minority. But at the end of the day, the majority of gamers are still running out and they're giving these publishers their money. I was getting into it on social media. I seem to always get into it on social media these days, but I was getting into it on social media because, you know, people were asking my opinion about this and I gave my opinion, and people were trying to blame the developer for this. They were trying to blame Infinity Ward. And my thing was stop harassing these developers online. They're people just like us. They're putting food on the table to feed their families just like we do. It's a job for them. It's obviously a job they're very passionate about. But do you really think the individual developers are the ones making these exclusivity deals? They are not. That comes from the publisher. It comes from the top. So my thing has always been, take your harassment and negative feedback and point it towards the source. And don't harass, be respectful about it, number one, but voice your opinion to Activision, voice your opinion to Xbox, PlayStation, Take-Two Games, Bethesda, the list goes on. Those are the people that need your feedback, that you don't like these exclusive deals, that you don't want to see them, not Johnny game developer at Infinity Ward, this is his job to do, and he's doing what he's been told to do. You know, it's not fair to them. It's not. And because you won't want somebody, what's the joke? You want somebody to come to your job kicking the broom out of your hand, right? You know, that's my point. Going after individuals like that is not fair with this online harassment. Point it towards the publisher. But like I said, we talk about this stuff every year because every year there's an exclusive deal. And every year everyone gets outraged. But then when it comes down to voting with your wallet, you don't do it. And until they do, they can continue to do this.
So let's talk about Destiny, Shadowkeep. So somebody already, a team already completed the raid already?
Yep. World's first was done in 6.5 hours. And I apologize because I don't want to butcher the name because I want to say Anarchy, but I don't think that's it. So there was a world first, took 6.5 hours. There was a second team that came in 2 minutes later. A lot of people are being able to clear it right now. From what I've been seeing, because I've been trying to not spoil it for myself too much, but that last boss is a mofo.
Really?
Yeah. But that's cool. Shout out to Marco Style, because, you know, Marco was big in The Division, and he left and really got into Destiny over the summer. And I'm pretty sure he got close to doing World's First. I mean, he didn't get it, but his team actually was pretty close. So, you know, shout out to those guys, man, coming from one game over to the other. Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So, Paris, I know you've been playing the game. Not a lot, but You have a couple hours.
There, I have, relatively speaking, because I knew I wasn't going to do Worlds first, so I didn't just blindly grind my eyeballs out. But I think I've played about 30 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Impressions, man. Tell us, man, your thoughts.
I'm really enjoying it, and it's not for the reasons that, because I talk about this on Twitter, it's not for the reasons that you may think, because. Mm-hmm. On the surface, it's just more Destiny. Hey, more Destiny, go do some quests, do this, you know, shoot the bad guys, you know, subpar story, rinse and repeat, right? I mean, that's just been Destiny the past 5 years. But it's the systems that they are laying in place under the hood that have me excited. Just the things with Armor 2.0 that they're doing, the artifact, actually even the season pass, which I was very skeptical of coming in, but the way that everything now is XP based, you know, like I said, for leveling up that season pass, for leveling up your artifact, it's good. It feels good because they're basically telling you, just go play the game, and you will advance in the game. The more you play the game, the more you level up, the more you can unlock in the artifact, which gives you mods that only work for that season, which is kind of an experimental thing. And then you have your permanent mods where you have different vendors and, you know, again, just playing the game, they'll drop naturally, you know, by doing certain activities is good. I'm still early days in it. I think my Titan is like 915 or something like that, leveling wise. So I've not really dabbled too much in the Armor 2.0, but I've taken a look at it to kind of see how it works. And I dig it. I can see once I get to max level and I really start trying to lock down my character, like, okay, here are the various builds that I want to do. There's going to be a lot of tinkering that I mean, I could just spend hours doing, trying to figure out what the best build, what the best mods that go with certain things, with certain weapons and things like that. So that has me very excited. The way that they've rolled out Shadowkeep and Season of the Undying so far, again, the story, look, again, for people that get mad at me about not liking Borderlands and all that, Destiny's story is not good. It still isn't, but I won't spoil it. There's something that happens at the end of the game, which should get people, lore people, you know, shout out to Bife, who, by the way, put out like this, what was it, 3-4 hour epic story of Destiny on YouTube last week. It was amazing for people that want to go check out. My name is Bife. Just him and his entire team that put that together was amazing. But anyways, back to the point, they're definitely setting up some stuff for the future story wise. And this is clearly going to be an ongoing story that didn't just end here with Shadowkeep. It's going to play out through the entire year, through the various seasons, which is pretty cool. They also, now that the raid happened, now that Season Undying has kicked off, we had Vex Invasions that's happening. There's some various quests that kicked off. Matter of fact, right before we started recording, I just picked up one exotic quest that ties into the raid. So there's a lot of things to do. I'm also very happy to see how they've changed the power progression in there. They've set it up now that there's various tiers of power that you can get. It's spelled out a lot better on what you can go chase to level up your character. So that's good too. Overall, like I said, this feels like, you know, they obviously broke from Activision at the beginning of the year, and this is the first Bungie Destiny that we're getting. And it's like, all right, let's just go ahead. Let's just set the foundation for what we want to do the next 5 years with Destiny. And also the difficulty level. This is not an easy game anymore. You know, I mean, there's obviously, you know, there's the free to play tier that's come in, and they're introducing all these people into Destiny now, but they're not making Destiny for the casual audience. It's kind of jump in. We're giving you difficult, challenging things to do. And this is what our audience has told us they've wanted over the past 5 years. So that makes me happy as well, because this is what I've wanted. I don't want an easy game. I don't need them to hold my hand. Give me something that's going to challenge me. So I'm also seeing that being implemented as well, which is really good. So overall, I'm going to have a video up on YouTube here during the week. Well, I'll go a little more in depth with all this stuff, but I'm very excited for it. This is becoming the Destiny that I want. Also, going back to the moon, it's just the nostalgia trip of that has been very cool, because it's like we are coming back to a space that we first went to 5 years ago. Like, I still remember being in the beta when they unlocked the moon and we got to run around for a few. Matter of fact, I was with Mandy, as a matter of fact. We were running around the moon, you know, exploring and wondering, you know, what everything was going to be. So coming back 5 years later to the moon has been really cool. And there's even a particular quest where it tells you to go to a certain area, I remembered off the top of my head exactly how to get there from playing it in Destiny 1, and it was still the same exact route. So that was cool as well. Just little things like that. Definitely a nostalgia trip. And with the nightmare hunts that you have, bringing in the old bosses, like I almost had some PTSD when it was Skolas, because I just remembered the struggle bus with that back in 2015. And, you know, it's good. It's a game that we've been playing for 5 years that is starting to mature. Let's put it that way, where you're starting to see Bungie and the community with our feedback basically work together to like, okay, here's what we like, here's what we don't like. Let's turn this game into something that we both can agree that we can enjoy. And that's what Shadowkeep is, in my opinion. So really digging it. It's something that, yes, I will be investing a lot of hours into. I see no reason why I wouldn't. And yeah, I'm probably going to try and do the raid next week. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. When you're going to play it, but I guess you already asked right there. So that's cool, man. That's good. 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 Now, Paris, before we wrap it up, I definitely want to bring up two things. One is you're right about Disintegration. That game is a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. I went there, you know, open mind. I'm like, you know what? Let's see what happens. I'm going to play the game. There was two options for me, PC, controller. Of course, I went for the controller. But I picked up the game right away, and it was like an easy game to understand. At first, when they were explaining it to me during the presentation, I was like, oh, man, this sounds like it's a lot. But it is not, man. Once you start playing it, you get into the flow of things, it's easy to pick up. And I just love the concept of you play first person, but you also control the units using the RB left bumper also. And we played multiplayer. That's the same one that you played, right? The multiplayer?
Yes, yeah, played multiplayer.
Yeah. So there was not a lot of details about the single player campaign, but they're probably going to start talking about that next year. But yeah, we went to the Take-Two office, and we were there for 2 hours or so. And we got some hands-on. It's a lot of fun, man. Really cool. And I even, during the interview, go back and listen to it if you guys haven't. But during the interview, I was talking to Marcus, and I was like, Marcus, like this vibe reminds me of the first time picking up Halo. Remember, Paris, the first time you played Halo? The first time that it was like, oh, man, using two analog sticks? Wow. It took us a while to, like, get into the flow, right? It was something different.
Right.
That's the vibe that I got from playing this game. And I told that to Marcus during the interview. He's like, oh, that's cool to hear. And I'm like, yo, it reminded me of that experience playing Halo for the first time and playing this game for the first time. So it's good. I'm excited. I think this is going to be one of those games that is going to surprise a lot of people, I think, in my opinion. So,
well, yeah, dude, I told you from when I played it, you know, back at Gamescom. I mean, similar thing. It's like once you pick it up, and I don't know if in their presentation, they explained it as left hand, right hand. But, you know, you're used to doing things with your right hand. If you're right handed, left hand, you're not. But once you actually figure it out and get used to that left hand, which is the RTS portion of it, it just clicks. It's really good. I'm telling you guys right now, it will be a sleeper hit of 2020. It's going to be from that small team, making this game. Because was it 30 people that are making this
30
game?
People.
But
yep.
When you get your hands on, and look, I have no clue if the story, again, this may be it'll probably be an atrocious story. Who knows, right? But the gameplay itself is going to be really good. I think guys are really going to like it. And I could see it growing into being very competitive on multiplayer wise. Like, I could see it becoming an esport. That's how good that multiplayer is going to be. I'm telling you right now. So again, one of the people that created Master Chief is making this game, Marcus Leto. You just have to think of it that way. So, you know, he knows first person shooters. I mean, he's obviously been doing it for, what are we talking, like 25 years at this point? Yeah. So he knows what he's doing. And from what I played, his team is small, but it's really, really good. A lot of fun playing that multiplayer.
And I also heard he also created the vehicles in Halo, in the original Halo.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So he was one of the senior guys at Bungie at the time that created all that, and he was the lead guy on Halo Reach. you know? Mm-hmm. So, which for me, campaign wise, was my favorite Halo, you know, on campaign. So, yeah, dude knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing, too, is the Avengers Paris. It was good. I think during the interview, I did mention to them that, you know, I heard a lot of the feedback that I was getting from E3. I think that right after you start getting hands on with the game, which I think they started doing it now, was it at Gamescom? Did they have it publicly playable? Because I know they had playable.
No, it wasn't playable for the public at Gamescom. I had to go to behind closed doors.
So this is the first time that the public now is finally getting hands on at Comic Con to play the game. So that's cool. Okay, well, it's the first time. I thought it was playable over there too, but yep. It's a lot of fun. I think the character that I like the most control wise is Thor. I don't know if you felt that same way. Out of all the characters you got to play in the game, which one is your favorite one so far for you from the Avengers?
It might have been Thor, actually. I think it was. I know who my least favorite was. It was Black Widow.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I didn't really enjoy Iron Man that much.
Iron Man, I was able to pull off some pretty cool combos with it. And then, you know, Hulk, obviously, is just a tank when you go through. But I would say Thor, because Thor was a good blend of being able to, you know, just with the hammer, being able to throw it, pull off combos, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit of flight, things like that. So he was good. He was good.
Yeah.
Did I play with Cap? I guess I did. I played with Cap as well. Cap was all right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Thor was probably my favorite, I would say.
Now, my question to you, were you surprised with the additional character that they had in the game?
Yeah, I was, because I'm not okay. Here's where, and again, slippery slope. Why her? Of mm-hmm. all the roster of Marvel characters that you could have put in, why her? And I've already seen people look. Personally, I don't care. Whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But it feels like you're trying to force in a little bit of diversity there. And that really? Would be the only thing about it. Because again, why her? Why Kamala? Why Kamala of the Avengers? Why her?
Yeah. I didn't get that. I didn't felt that vibe though.
I'm honestly, again, speaking. Wasn't there. I'm literally just going by what I'm reading online. Cause of course, you know, people get outraged by it immediately. I personally don't care, but I'm just asking the question. That's it. Just a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and, I also got to play her character. It's actually pretty good. It's not that bad. I prefer Thor still, but it's not a bad thing. Now, I highly recommend everybody, because I know there's a lot of questions about cosmetics and what's going to happen in the future about DLC and all that. I highly recommend for you to listen to the episode that I recorded. It was the head of the studio, Scott. Did a presentation about the game. It's like a good, maybe it's up to like 40 minutes, I think, long. So he talks about everything about the game. And all the DLC expansion, everything in the future, that all is going to be free. I don't know if they mentioned that to you, Paris, at Gamescom. Did they?
No, they did not.
Okay. So the only thing that, yes, you have to buy is some of the cosmetics. Like some of them you could unlock it by playing it and upgrading your character. And there's some that you have to buy. And of course, there's going to be like 80 years worth of different type of like costumes for like your character from like the old days. Now some exclusives for this game. So I think it's good. It's good. I think, it's going to be a good game. I don't know about game of the year or anything like that, but I think it's going to be good. If you're a fan of Marvel, I think people are going to like it, man. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, and it comes out early 2020.
Yeah.
It's either March or May. I forget which one exactly.
But they are releasing a beta first on PlayStation, of course, the marketing deal.
Yeah,
That's going to happen. So, yeah, you were going to say?
Oh, and I just want to be crystal clear on one thing, because I don't want anyone to mistake what I was just saying about Kamala. I am all for it, personally. I'm strictly speaking of comments that I saw via social media, because of course it's social media. You're not going to make everyone happy. So I'm just being devil's advocate and asking the question. That's it.
Why
I personally 100% for it. Knock yourself up.
If you play or got to see the video of the demo, it's a tutorial.
Yeah.
She's in the game. She's in there. And a lot of people, nobody even noticed. She's in the game. She's right at the end, Paris. She pops up as a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
So were you going to say something?
No. That was it. I just wanted to be clear because again, you know, you say something and then someone just takes a quote out of it and they take it out of context. I just want to be clear that I'm all for it. Don't get mad at me.
You want me to put in the title too, Paris?
Yes, Paris is all for it. With a big thumbs up. But again, hey, it's good that, you know, let's not just do the same things over and over. Let's have various types of characters in these games. excuse me. And like I said, I think the Avengers, it will be a fun game to play, especially in co-op. And if you look at what they're doing, because I mean, I'm sure they showed you the whole, basically the whole world map and just how there'll be the random events that you can go to and like open world kind of thing. So I think a lot of that's going to be really good. I'm very curious to see what it's going to be. And I'm glad that there is a beta that's coming so everyone can get their hands on it and try it out for themselves. One thing I want to throw in before I forget.
Yeah.
Uplay Plus, because obviously that got announced at E3 this year, and that's basically Ubisoft's, you know, via Uplay, where you can have, was it $15 a month and you can get all the Ubisoft games. Mm-hmm. I would just simply say to anyone that's thinking about it or interested in it, if you love Ubisoft games and you play on the PC, it's probably worth it. If you're not really into Ubisoft games, then I would be skeptical of picking it up. I mean, it's pretty dead simple.
Yeah. It all depends on the library, the amount of stuff that they have there, you know, just that. And I think, I mean, right now it's only available for the PC, but I think hopefully next gen, maybe Ubisoft will add that for the next Xbox.
Yeah. And that's what needs to happen for, if you really want to get adoption for it, if Ubisoft can bring Uplay Plus to console as well, then I mean, yeah, that would make a lot more sense. I mean, again, I mean, look at what Xbox is doing with Game Pass. The fact that for $15 a month, PC or console, you can play all their games. That's what Ubisoft and EA both need to do as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, my question to you about that is, because I know we got to put up in a few, but there's a lot of subscription services now, not only for movies and TV shows,
but
now for games.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
No, it's too many, because you're going to wind up where you think you're saving. You're going to wind up spending, you know, the same amount anyways. I'm speaking in a perfect world, which we know is not going to happen. In a perfect world, there would be like just one subscription service and you get everything. We know that's not going to happen. So it really just comes down to, like I was saying before, with Uplay Plus, you get the subscriptions to the services where you know you're going to play the most games on, right? Because I don't think anybody can afford to get all of them, because there's just too many. But like Game Pass, that's one I know I would invest into. Ironically, let's take us out of the equation of getting review copies of things, right? Mm-hmm. If I weren't getting review copies of games, I would definitely still get Game Pass. I probably wouldn't get EA's. I don't play enough EA games.
Yeah.
Uplay, I would probably get, because I play enough Ubisoft games that it would probably be worth the investment for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, PlayStation obviously isn't doing one yet. And when I think of 2K and I think of Bethesda, things like that, I probably wouldn't get those either, because I don't play enough of their games to justify it. If PlayStation did one, no brainer. I would do that. PlayStation, I mean, Xbox, I would do. If now Nintendo did one, just take all my money. Take all my money, Jesus. Take it, please. You know,
I'm all in. But wait a minute. Isn't PlayStation now considered as a subscription service too?
But you're not getting all the games, though. I mean, you're not getting, like, I don't know. Let's just, as an example, you're not going to get The Last of Us 2 day and date. See, that's why Game Pass works. You're getting all their games when they come out day one, whereas PlayStation Now doesn't do that.
I think they're going to change it for next gen.
They're going to have to. I think they're going to have to eventually.
They have to.
I do think eventually they will.
They can't
keep it
the same. They can't. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like EA, I mean, if you're into the sports and a couple of their exclusives, it makes sense, but
yeah,
not for me. Not for me. I mean, they'll get you like, hey, play this game for this amount of hours, and that happens a lot.
Yep.
You know, so that's when people start playing Star Wars Battlefront and Battlefront 2 through E8 All Access. Do you remember that, Aaron, and the whole Xbox team, Star Wars had an exclusive deal with PlayStation, but it came out first for E8 All Access subscription members.
Right, so they were promoting that you could play it first on Xbox.
Yeah,
that technicality.
You know, behind the scenes, PlayStation was not too thrilled about that. You know that. You know, but yeah. Anything else? Think we're good?
No, I think that's it. You know, for this episode, right. Like I said, we'll circle back on Ghost Recon next week to just give a definitive opinion on it. Trying to think anything else. I think that's it. I think we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be posting a couple of things for Thursday. Cause I recorded the Marvel Games panel pretty long. It's like an hour and a half, but I think two of them, I'm going to like add in the podcast. So one is Iron Man VR that's coming up for PlayStation VR. Interesting game.
Yeah.
And also I have like another panel that's the whole cast that's part of the Avengers. I'm definitely going to, that was a long one. That was like a good 30 plus minutes on that one. So I'm going to try to see if I could put it somewhere in a podcast. So it's going to be long. Plus I have some reviews of games that I have from Nintendo Switch. Plus my interview with Megan Rand. So yeah, Thursday is going to be a jam-packed show. Paris, you
guys? No, that's great. I just remember I have two things, and one, I hope you're sitting down when I say one.
Oh, okay. All right. I am sitting down. So go for it.
So first one, yeah. I'm really interested in Jedi Fallen Order now. I've done a complete 180 on that game.
I'm all in.
Because I don't know if you remember during E3, I was kind of, I don't know. I got to say, I watched a 26-minute uncut video from E3. I was like, okay, this has an Uncharted kind of vibe to it, set in Star Wars. I like it. The last trailer just came out. I like it. Obviously, Respawn's doing it anyways, so I have confidence in Respawn. I think I'm in. I think I'm in December. I think I'm there day one. I'm picking it up. You know, again, obviously no microtransactions. They're not doing any of that crap in this game. So
yeah.
I think I'm in as just a single player Star Wars. All right, let's just go do it. Hey, Pete, I hope Gary Whitta wrote the script for it. How about that? second thing, and I hope you're sitting down. So back to Destiny 2 real quick. So the other beauty of Destiny 2 is cross-save, right? And, you know, I like playing with my son. So obviously he's not going to play on PC. So I was like, all right, I'll have to get another copy. Oh, by the way, thank you, Bungie. They gave me a review copy on PC. Thank you for that. Just full disclosure on that stuff. But I was like, all right, I got to buy a second copy. Do I buy it on PlayStation? I realized something this week. My PlayStation Plus runs out this month.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, do I go get PlayStation Plus and I go get it and we keep playing on PlayStation? Or do I already have Game Pass until June of 20, Ultimate Game Pass, which includes Xbox Live Gold, until June of 2022. Or do we hop on the Emerald? Danny, my son and I are on the Emerald. I got Shadowkeep on the Emerald. We're on the Emerald. Cross save. I set up cross save on his. He brought his account over to Xbox. My account's on the Xbox. I fired it up Friday night. I haven't actually played yet. But I will, and he's been playing, but I haven't played on Xbox yet. But yes, I will be playing Destiny on Xbox. That will happen. It's gonna happen. You will see me online on Xbox playing Destiny. I'm back. I'm back home. I'm back on the Xbox.
No, but honestly, it's like this is the reason why we need to have cross saves.
Yeah. Like this, yes. Man. Oh, we forgot about that news. The show has to continue. We ain't done yet. So not only that, like I said, I'm going to be on Xbox and all that. That's great. And I love the cross-save stuff. But remember, Sony also came out this week and officially said floodgates are open for crossplay. Any developer that wants to do crossplay on PlayStation, you can do it. We're open to it. Xbox obviously has already said they're willing to do it any title as well. So, excuse me, I'm not expecting it this gen, but going into Scarlet and PlayStation 5, no excuses. There's no excuses for crossplay anymore. Everyone should be doing it. Obviously, Call of Duty is going to be doing it here in a week or so. But crossplay is officially a thing now on consoles. Anybody, any developer who wants to do it can do it. So I just think moving forward, that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Paris, welcome back.
Yeah, I'm back.
We miss Paris. That's good. No, but I think
Sony tried to choke me out. But real quick on that again.
Yeah.
So, because I said it on social media and people are like, are you getting rid of your PlayStation? Hell no, I ain't getting rid of my PlayStation. Again, the thing that I realized was, and the reason I'm not going to renew PlayStation Plus is the only online game I played on PlayStation was Destiny. That was it over these past 5 years. I wasn't playing any other PlayStation game. I played Spider-Man, God of War, Uncharted 4, whatever the case, all single player games. Obviously just their great library of games. So like The Last of Us 2, when that comes out, single player game. I don't care. And they've already said they're not doing multiplayer on that, which again, people got outraged about, but I guess there is this cult following for The Last of Us multiplayer, but I don't need PlayStation Plus for that. When PlayStation 5 comes out, let's just say as an example, Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is a launch game, single player game. Again, I don't need PlayStation Plus. So yeah, for the foreseeable future, I see no reason to have PlayStation Plus because I just simply don't play online games on PlayStation, and Destiny was the only one that I was doing. Like even Call of Duty, I'll be getting that on PC. I'm not going to get it on PlayStation. So, and we have crossplay now, so I can still play with all my friends on there. So I don't need to be on PlayStation to play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I agree. And you save money, man. That's how I see it. Yeah. You're saving money. So it's all good. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to stream or download the content I uploaded during New York Comic Con. There's some great, great content there. Make sure to check it out and let me know what you think. If you find us on any podcast app, just search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe or follow us. Again, share that. Your friends, family. Let everybody know about GTR. All right. And if you want to be part of fan mail, remember to email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, anything else?
I think we're good.
All right, we're good. All right, so stay tuned, guys. Thursday, we're going to have a jam-packed show. I have a lot of stuff I'm going to be putting in there. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.